This is Columbia Morning and News Talk 1400 KFRU. February is Heart Month, among other things. And when we think of Heart Month, we think of ways to prevent heart disease. And one of the things we need to pay attention to is our blood pressure. We have cardiologist Brian Bostic in the studio with us from the University of Missouri Healthcare to talk about new heart pressure guidelines, blood pressure guidelines, not heart pressure. How are you today, doctor?
I'm good, David. Thanks for having me.
All right. So these came out. I asked you off the air. I said, I don't think I've seen my doctor since these were updated, and they were updated in November. What changed in November?
That's right. So in November, about 31 million people woke up having not done anything different, and all of a sudden they were diagnosable as having high blood pressure or hypertension. And so these new guidelines changed the threshold for diagnosing someone with high blood pressure from previously being if your blood pressure was 140 over 90 or above to now we're going to say you have hypertension or high blood pressure when your number is 130 over 80 or above.
And that included then all of a sudden, because I was going to ask you, that meant 31 million people fell within that category.
Exactly. I mean, that's an estimate, but we anticipate about 31 million more people are now going to be diagnosed with and living with hypertension.
What was behind this change?
So the biggest thing was that the two largest heart health bodies we have for physicians, the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology, got together a task force and reviewed all of the data on blood pressure and your risk for heart attack and stroke. And so after looking at all that, we really decided that we need to have more awareness and more focus on prevention. There's a big push from both of these bodies, the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology, on preventing heart attacks and strokes, which are the most feared complications. And we found that if we lowered this threshold, we could get more people access to the therapies and we could get more awareness of high blood pressure at these early stages when we can prevent the complications.
Had it been 140 over, what was it, 140 over 90 for a long time?
It had. The NIH put together a task force called the JNC7, the Joint National Commission, and they had a task force that set the goal, the threshold at 140 over 90, and it's been that way for a number of years.
All right, so I went to the website. This is the American College of Cardiology. I'm going to say this is pretty good group, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I should trust what they say.
You should trust what...
All right, so normal now, it says here in the blood pressure categories in the new guideline are normal, less than 120 over 80.
That's right, and that's actually unchanged. Less than 120 over 80 was always considered normal. That in-between range from 120 to 140 was called pre-hypertension. And so now we've changed that to, we've dropped it, the diagnosis to 130 over 80, and that range in between is called elevated blood pressure. So at that point, we're trying to say, hey, you're heading towards this diagnosis. We're not calling it pre-hypertension anymore. We're not calling it high normal was another term that you got to be called. Now it's called elevated.
I saw that, elevated. So the systolic, which would be the first number.
That's right. That's the top number.
That would be between 120 and 129.
Right.
Leading up to 130, which would be when you would hit high blood pressure.
Exactly.
And then it says, and diastolic less than 80.
That's right.
Why is the second number, is the second number as important as the first number? What? Tell
me
that.
It's usually not as important. Most of the studies show that the risk for heart attack, stroke, kidney disease, other complications are more tied to your top number, the systolic blood pressure. Diastolic blood pressure is important, but it's not as big a predictor and a risk for heart attack and stroke.
How many people deal with a, and I'm looking here again at that website I just mentioned, hypertensive crisis, systolic over 180 and diastolic over 120. Do you see that a lot?
We do. Those are the patients typically show up in the emergency room. The biggest sign that you might have a hypertensive crisis is symptoms such as headache, vision problems, chest pain, or shortness of breath. That's typically what we need to diagnose a crisis, is also symptoms with that elevated blood pressure. So I always tell people, go by how you feel, kind of know what your normal is. And that's what these guidelines are really focused on, as well as being aware of your blood pressure. And there's a big focus. If you go to either the American College of Cardiology or the American Heart Association websites, they'll tell you, this is how we want you checking your blood pressure. This is how we want you going. This is how we want it checked in the clinics and by your doctor's offices as well.
So doesn't the blood pressure fluctuate a lot? Maybe is it day to day or is it hour to hour?
It can really fluctuate, you know, in a very brief period. And that's why these guidelines were trying to give us specific directions on how you check your blood pressure. We want people to not be exercising or having caffeine or smoking within 30 minutes before they take their blood pressure. You need to be sitting quietly and not have really kind of exerted yourself. And then when you take your blood pressure, you need to be sitting with your feet on the floor, your arm needs to be at about heart level, and you're not talking when you're having your blood pressure taken. Because even something is, you know, as if you've walked up the stairs before you go to get your blood pressure machine or sitting there talking will cause it, like you said, to fluctuate.
How about those of us who would say just sitting there doing everything you just prescribed, still our blood pressure could be high because we're in a place we're not familiar to be in?
We actually have new guidelines on that as well. And when you're in the doctor's office and that happens, we call it white coat hypertension. Uh-huh. And so it's important with these new guidelines to differentiate what is your blood pressure at home versus what is it in the clinic. And we may not need to be as aggressive with medications if your blood pressure is normal at home, but we still need to recognize it.
Is there a different way to take blood pressure than the cuff?
So we have this unit called an ambulatory pressure monitor where we can actually record it for 24 hours, and that's something that has to be put hooked up in the clinic or in the hospital that you can wear, and that can give us something different than just, you know, the sitting there getting it squeezed. It kind of checks it continuously over 24 hours, and that gives us an idea of maybe if your readings don't really correlate very well, that might be something we need to do to get a more accurate blood pressure for each person.
I think I know the answer to what I'm about ready to ask because you just answered this a moment ago. You said that within 30 minutes of having your blood pressure checked, you should not have smoked. Right. You should not have had caffeine. So my question was going to be, and then I want you to answer it, in addition to what you will say, don't smoke and maybe avoid caffeine in some situations. If we are worried about this and say, well, I've got to pay attention because, you know, I used to have I was used to in the safe zone because I was under 140, but now I'm in that area where it's diagnosed or being told that it's high blood pressure. What do we do to reduce our blood pressure? What's the best things we could do?
That's a great question, and that's the key question. And these guidelines put forward a lot of lifestyle modifications you can make, because while there's 31 million new people with high blood pressure by these new guidelines, we anticipate that only a very small number are going to need medication or new medications. This is focused at prevention. So the things that you can do are to start eating a diet that's lower in sodium or salt. The guidelines say that you want to try to get your salt intake or sodium down below 1.5 grams a day. And so I tell people be reading the labels, because of a lot of the foods we get, canned foods, processed foods, the sodium and the salt are hidden in those foods. So people tell me, well, I don't salt my foods, but they might have been salted before you got it. So sodium intake being reduced is a big one. We're talking to people about reducing their body weight to a more healthy level. The studies that they went through for these new guidelines say that, you know, for every 2 to 2.5 pounds that you reduce your weight by, you might lower your blood pressure by a point as well. So getting your body weight down to a healthy level can have as much as 5 to 10 degrees of lowering of your blood pressure. And lastly, we also talk about physical activity, and we want people trying to exercise for at least an hour and a half a week. And we'd like them to split that up over 3 to 4 days where you're exercising for 30 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week. That can also have a good, a profound effect when you're in that 130 to 139 range on getting your blood pressure down to normal.
All right. So what's your weight? Become more active. What was the first one again?
Lower your sodium and salt.
Oh, yeah. Salt intake. Well, you're right. We should be, that's not impossible to do for most of us. I mean, some people may have physical reasons why they can't do some of those things, but for most of us, that's doable. And it would be better than getting prescriptions and having to go on any kind of medication that way.
Exactly.
Anything else you want to tell us about this?
No, I think you hit the big things. And I just wanted to reiterate that while your blood pressure may now diagnose you with hypertension, is that the medications you're on are still the same medications we're prescribing. And a lot of these changes are in lifestyle and how that can really make a profound impact on your blood pressure.
We might as well point out also you will be at Provision Living on February the 28th, last day of this month at 4:30, doing the presentation in the Ask a Doc series, New Blood Pressure Guidelines, What Changed and What Does It Mean for You? People will be able to interact with you there.
Yes.
All right. Dr. Bostic, thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Bostic, cardiologist, University of Missouri Healthcare. Our guest is News Talk 1400 KFRU.